listening to Heritage Radio Network, and this is Cheap Date. My name is Kathy Irway. I'm your host, and we're at Roberta's Pizza today in a nice little converted shipping container outside, and it's a beautiful day in Bushwick today. This show is brought to you by TechServe, and it's also available on podcast and on the Heritage Radio Network website. So here today, it's actually the first show of Cheap Date. So I'm really excited. I have a couple of awesome guests today. Rachel Wharton.
Hey.
And hi. Thanks for coming. And Keith Wagstaff.
Hello.
Hello. So,
first of all, I just want to say that I really like your choice of theme song, because it's particularly apt, because when I was in high school, whenever I was trying to soothe a broken heart, I would listen to the Scruffy the Cat version of that song.
What?
And if you don't know that version, you consider yourself lucky.
Oh my God. I got to listen to it. Yeah. Well, you know, any song with my name in it, it's
it's a great
apparently
song.
Golden in my book. That's funny. Who's Scruffy the Cat?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so this is something I really need to look up.
Just that song.
Okay, so Rachel, just to back up, she is the deputy editor of Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan, food writer for other things too. So thank you so much for coming.
You are welcome.
Can you just tell me a little bit, what is Edible Communities? Like, there's one for every state, every city, and so
I'll start with Edible Brooklyn, since that's where we are. It's a quarterly food magazine dedicated to exploring the food culture of this fine borough, and you can actually get it right here at Roberta's. In fact, our feature story and the cover is Roberta's Pizza, written by yours truly. And Manhattan's, this has the same focus. We just focus on Manhattan, and all the others do the same thing. They take a very close look at the culture, the food culture of the specific community they're focusing on.
Cool. Well, congratulations. Like, that's a great publication. And
I love it.
Yeah. It just needs a little more love advice as well as food. I'm just kidding. No.
I think we need a sex column.
Yeah.
I definitely
You know, food, sex, it all goes together. And that's what we're talking about today. So, Keith, you are a city editor at City Search's The Feedbag blog.
Yes, that's true. I edit all those wonderful restaurants. Reviews you see on the site, and I also edit the feedback along with Josh Ozersky, who has a show here as well, I believe, on Sunday called the Mr. Cutlet Show.
Yeah, good stuff, cutlets. I brought these folks on the show really just to pick their brains about food, because they're such experts, but also to get behind them a little bit and talk about what they like to cook. Maybe in a, or what they like to eat in romantic situations, since they're, you know, both of them are actually incredibly busy people. And a lot of people have asked me, you know, how do you, so I started this blog and it was all about cooking all the time, not going to restaurants, as a rule. And people were like, how do you go on dates? You know, I don't have any time. I get out of work at 7 or 8 or 9. And, you know, I just want to go hang out with somebody and grab a slice or something like that. So, you know, and I've tried to answer that question a lot of ways, but these folks are real foodies, so they are experts of both the restaurant world and also the food cooking at home world a little bit. Do you ever cook on dates, Keith?
I like to cook. I don't cook that often on dates.
I know you've been known to throw a crazy dinner party or two.
Oh, I do throw dinner parties
quite
often.
So that figures into the social scene, right?
Yeah, it's like a date with all your friends.
Exactly.
It's a big date.
So you can invite someone over. It's a good first step.
It's a group date, yeah.
Yeah.
Because cooking for someone is pretty intimate. I don't think that comes right away.
Oh.
You know, I would never cook for someone on a first date. Because then they're stuck at your house if you don't have
them. That's true. You can't make an emergency
but why?
Exit.
Why do we have these cultural standards that, you know, say that it's okay to go in a restaurant and sit across from each other and be brought amazing courses, but you can't stay in your kitchen?
I don't think it's a cultural standard as in much as a date is sinking. You want to get out of there. Like, you know, that's why
you might not like this
first
person.
Date. Yeah.
This person might be crazy. And
that's why the first
home.
Date's always like coffee or drinks or something so you can...
Short.
If it's not going well.
Or that can be short.
Oh, so they're not worth it for the whole meal. Maybe,
but it's also you're
getting
someone into your house. And you're cooking for them, which if you actually really like to cook, which all of us do, it requires a lot of effort and thought. So you want to make sure you like someone before you
But don't people put a lot of effort and thought into what they wear
yes.
and they go well, to these, and what they pick? I know a lot of people that are, you know, go crazy about what restaurant to pick on this date or the second date or the third date. Do you guys do that?
Okay, so I'm going to pretend that you've asked me what my ideal first date would be. And I'm going to say okay. that my ideal first date, you can just knock out so many things right at once. And you see how a person, well, for me, the type of person I am, what I do is I like to take the 7 train to Flushing and go to, first of all, you stop at what Josh Rozersky, that. Mr. Cutlets, calls the Mutton Man. And you start with a couple of skewers of mutton from this guy who sells like right on the street corner. And then you go to one of the indoor mini malls and get like a curry beef sandwich or a bowl of spleen. And so you can basically tell right off from, like, you go to a bunch of these places and so you're dragging the person
along
with you.
Nothing says love like spleen.
Exactly. But for me, I can tell right off if this person is rolls with the punches, if they have a sense of humor, if they like eating weird things, if they mind an air conditioner dripping on their head while they're eating a curry beef sandwich. So that's like one of my favorite ideal first dates.
That's amazing. A lot of people have told me that a Subway is a killer. You know,
again, because it's like, can I make conversation with this person? Oh. Can they riff on whatever ad is up on the wall? I
mean, so that's, you're all about that's making people potentially uncomfortable. No, well, we're in a setting that you're very comfortable.
Well, dates are like a test yeah. almost. You're testing them.
I like that.
So they have to be a comedian. No, well, it's just more just like, you know, can you actually hang out with someone and have a good time? Because I can do that with like almost everyone that I choose to make my friend. So
okay, so what's stopping you, Rachel, then, from cooking a lot of like lamb and...
lamb.
What was it? Tendons or something
oh,
like
spleen.
That? A spleen at home.
Well, no, I will do that, but that comes later. That
have
comes
you done that?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. I mean, not spleen.
Sixth, seventh date? Oh, okay.
Maybe third or fourth.
Yeah.
Once cool. you actually know them.
I think it's about, yeah, I think it's mostly about just inviting people to your home. Like, that seems really, really intimate to me, as opposed to just going out for a drink or
right.
something. Or
yes.
going out for spleen.
Yes.
Okay. So, basically, we have to clean our homes a little better. Is that no?
Oh, for me, that's for sure.
Well, okay.
I mean, also, it's like, well, gosh, okay, this is really embarrassing. But I think like one of the most important things is that if you can make them a kick-ass breakfast.
Oh, I know.
The first time they yeah, stay that, over.
Whoa.
That's yeah. Or actually, like, okay, so like the ultimate, like, if you have like any chance in hell you think someone
this
is actually going to come home with you,
yeah.
if you think you're going to get lucky, make sure you have bread, cheese, and olive oil.
Oh
on
my
hands.
God, this is so true.
Yes.
So if you
so
want to invite somebody over, would you like to have a drink and bread, cheese, and
oil? Oh, no. The oh. bread, cheese, and olive oil comes after you do it. Sorry.
Have you worked up an appetite yet?
Well, totally.
This is good stuff. What about like dessert? No?
Oh, let's see. Dessert. Oh man.
Would you care for some chocolate ice cream? No?
Ooh, ice cream. Yeah, that would be good.
This is all planned out.
Oh,
I
totally.
Just supply a lot of booze
don't
and
usually,
then the ideas
wait,
come later.
Don't you guys have artisanally made, sustainably raised, sourced, whatever, cheese, olive oil, and chocolate on hand at
yeah,
all times,
all
just
times.
Like I do?
In a giant
I am
swan.
Not so lucky. I have found a good trick, though, is I always have ice cream in my fridge. I mean,
that'll
freezer.
Do it.
Yeah.
But I think just like, well, for I mean, I was kind of halfway joking. But it is, I do think that, you know, I've always found that anyone I invited over was always like totally impressed. If you're like, would you like some of this amazing?
Yeah, it's a talking point.
Constant bliss from Vermont, you know, and they're just like, oh, my God. And even though for us, it's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, foodies have it better, I think.
Do you often date foodies?
Never.
Do you prefer to date foodies?
I've never dated a real foodie. Have you?
Not really.
So
not
is
like
this,
Kathy has. What? Let's turn the tables on you.
I, you know, not really.
Wish what people
no,
in the
nobody,
food world.
I mean, compared to us, it's hard to top foodism. Like, you know,
I've never dated
enthusiasm.
Anyone close to a real foodie. But I mean, everyone
so that's
thinks
like
that
a,
they're interested in food. At least everyone
okay.
ever dated.
Is it like kind
but
of?
Not.
Is it a turnoff when people are kind of really clueless? Like, have you ever dated someone who is really, really like, you know, meat and potatoes type of person that would never eat these spleen things ever?
No.
Okay.
I mean, well, they may not have had much knowledge to begin with, but they were always curious and would try things.
It's more about people being open to try new things. It's not so much that they know, like, all about, like, these different, like, breeds of pork or, like, you know, all these artisanal cheeses. It's about that they're open to eating new things.
Okay. Have
either of you ever dated, actual, or even, like, one date, or, you like, hung up with a chef, like, someone who was actually trained? Because none of us are, right?
I've never dated a chef.
Me neither.
I think I'd
be too competitive. I'd be like, no. We do it like this.
Are we talking about food preparation?
Yes. I think that actually is intimidating to me. Someone who knows more
than you.
At least technically.
Sure.
In terms of cooking.
But I think that would be actually really impressive. You can, you know, it's always great then when you're not the one talking your head off. And you're listening, fascinated, to somebody else who has something to say that you're interested in, right?
So, I was actually thinking also just about, I mean, I've lived with a boyfriend before, and I did all the cooking, like every single bit of it. And so I got to basically rule the kitchen.
Been there too.
So the thought of, I mean, rule the kitchen, like I was like, no, that's not the way you do it. I mean, I think to me it would be kind of, I would be nervous about ceding the crown to someone who knew more, who actually really knew more than me.
Oh, so you like to be, okay.
You like to be in charge.
I see.
I guess so.
This is, God. By the way,
like
Rachel
therapy.
Is, this is awesome. Okay, so, Rachel, you also just came back from Iceland, right?
Mm. I did the hot dogs. Were people, amazing.
Like, did you get a sense of, you went alone too? Did you get a sense of what people do when you go out at, you know, on the town in Reykjavik and to hit the dating? I don't know, the nightlife.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, from what I saw, which is like this tiny sliver, you know, just based on the few people that I knew there, it's kind of like, it appears that it's kind of stuck in like where I think all of us were in college, where it's like a bunch of people getting completely obliterated on weekends and easily going home with each other in various stages of drunken euphoria.
Does that sound like college, or does that sound like
now?
That sounds like Williamsburg.
Yes, exactly.
Not from personal experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's such a small community, and they have the really, really severe... this is all really severe booze laws. So, and they had for like a long time, you couldn't even get, you can't buy beer anywhere, but at a wine and beer store. And there aren't that many of them. And they close at 6 and they're not open on Sunday. Oh. And I feel like I'm totally painting broad brushstrokes here, but I feel like it's kind of like this proscriptive culture where everyone just gets obliterated on weekends. It's like it's like Williamsburg or Times Square or like the East Village, like the blue and the gold. Like people just like falling down drunk and like staying out till 7 in the morning on Friday and Saturday nights, and then they don't go out very much at all the rest of the week. But how do I bring this back to dating and food?
So,
somebody help me out.
So
here.
How was the food in Iceland?
The food was amazing, and especially when I was able. I have one good friend there, and he had a friend whose name that I'll never be able to pronounce because it has several letters that we don't even have.
That's a good way to start out the date. What's your name?
Yes. Well, actually, oh my God! Like, where I actually could never. I always was like, like I would pretend that I would say his name, but try and work around it, or just like kind of mumble. Oh, but so he. Actually, he told me an amazing dating food story. He told me that he once got a date because he had a bunch of people over at his house for a dinner party. Yes, thank you, Keith.
Ooh, that's why I have him.
And because you invite somebody over to your house when you're having a dinner party. Like, say you want to date them, but you're interested in someone and you invite them over.
Yeah, so make it more casual, yeah.
Well, or it's not even that. It's like you can just blow their minds with your cooking skill in your awesome apartment. Anyway, okay.
True.
So this guy said that he once, you know, got a girlfriend basically because he made liver. And she was like, "You cook a mean liver."
Oh,
yes.
Awful.
Exactly. Awful.
That is sexy. Yeah. Well, Keith, what is your what's something to make that's great for a group party then to have with a bunch of friends?
I think you just need to make something. I think doing something simple really well that everyone will like. It's kind of a no-brainer. Like
what's that?
Mac and cheese, or like I think Sirius Each has had put up that recipe for Scott Conant's spaghetti from Scarpetta, which is like the greatest spaghetti ever. And I think I saw something like that is just, it's perfect for
spaghetti
dates.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's so simple, like no one's gonna be like, ew, I don't like spaghetti, because like, who doesn't like spaghetti? And then I think it's perfect for a date or like big group, as long as you can do that with that extra kick to impress them. But it,
what's the extra
them.
Kick, like the awesome, you know,
he infuses tossing, what was it about, he like infuses the olive oil before with a lot of the ingredients in, with the like the basil and like the garlic and all that, and then he mixes it into the sauce.
Okay,
really?
And, so and then gotta... he puts like butter into the noodles after, like a little bit
butter.
Of like,
butter
yeah. and some of the
butter is the key to everything.
The water that's been cooked in, so it kind of like yes. all sticks.
Hold that thought, because we're going to actually start to take calls from the listeners.
Wait, we have one? We have a call?
No, we're going to actually take a quick break. We're going to listen to a little musical interlude and call in with your questions. 718. Check out the website. 718-497-2128.
Early in the morning, beats a cup of coffee for starting off the day. Just a little loving when the world is yawning makes you wake up feeling good things are coming your way. This whole world wouldn't be half as bad, it wouldn't be half as sad if each and everybody in it had, yeah, just a little loving early in the morning, that little extra something to kind of see them through. Nothing turns the day on, really gets it dawning, like a little bit of loving from some loving someone like you.
Hey, we're back from a musical interlude. That was Dusty Springfield, Just a Little Lovin'. She's just wrapping up right now. And I'm Kathy Irway. This is Cheap Date. This is Heritage Radio Network. You're listening to, brought to you by TechServe. And today here we're here with Rachel Wharton from Edible Brooklyn, Edible Manhattan, and Keith Wagstaff from The Feedbag at City Search. So we were just... talking about some cooking advice for large group dinners, but one question I did want to get back to was actually something that Rachel mentioned, which was the morning after, since this song just reminded me there was this, you know, just a little loving in the morning beats a cup of coffee. So you were saying, you know, pack, you know, have a lot of olives, bread, nice stuff, impressive cheeses.
That's for like 3
from
in the morning.
Jasper Hill. 3 in the morning, right.
But what about when you wake up?
We wake up. Well, all of us have eggs and Flying Pig's bacon on hand at all times, right?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
I have like whole D'Artagnan ducks just in my refrigerator for just in case.
Was that from the duck dinner leftover?
No.
Okay.
That was a joke.
I do.
You had a duck dinner and you guys didn't invite me?
Oh my God, you weren't there?
What? No.
Oh,
that
it was
good.
A... Yeah, that was
Damn.
Fun. Sorry.
Oh, what
duck,
to make?
I don't. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
What to make for the next? What to make for breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's...
So one time, actually, usually I make. Well, I kind of cook whatever I have on hand, and I always have really good like hearty bread. I always have eggs because you get like 60 zillion in your CSA share every week, and I usually have some kind of meat or green. So basically, if I'm making someone breakfast in the morning, I saute the greens in the bacon and I toast the bread and then I put it on the bread. But then maybe like a year ago, I don't know what the hell I was doing, because I never actually sit and watch videos of people cooking, like cooking techniques. But for some reason, I stumbled across this video of Gordon Ramsay making scrambled eggs. So this is obviously where a chef would totally like trump me in technique, because they would have known this all along. So Gordon Ramsay taught me through this video how to make like the best scrambled eggs ever in the universe, which is basically that you use a saute pan, like a high rimmed pot, and you break in the eggs over low heat, and you put in the butter after you put in the egg, so that the butter steam, so that the steam from the butter
and also flavors the whole entire egg, not just the bottom of it.
Right, and so it aerates, aerates the steam escaping from the butter aerates these scrambled eggs. But you almost make it like, to me, it was like risotto. You're stirring slowly. It takes forever, but they come out incredibly creamy. Oh, yes. And you pull the pot off the heat if it starts to get too hot, because the goal is to just so they're just like incredibly rich and creamy, and they're
like
mind blowing. Yes,
yeah. It's less scrambled, like it's less chunky, but it's like just kind of like rich, buttery. Seasoned perfectly. Yeah.
And then he puts in, like, you add salt and pepper right at the very end, and he puts in like this huge knob of creme fraiche.
Oh my god.
Impressive. It was definitely one of those like eureka moments, like, oh my god.
Who would not want to, you know?
So you put that
sounds delicious.
You put that on top of whatever vegetable you've sauteed, on top of a big thing of bread, and then maybe like whatever cheese you have, put that on top, and then if you have any of that olive oil. And that's what I do for breakfast.
Cool. I found that eggs really baffle a lot of people. And people are always asking me, oh, how do I make an omelet? How do I make scrambled eggs? I don't know what to do with eggs. How do I poach it?
I think it's really hard to do it well. That's a sign of a really good cook. It's how well you make your eggs. Because like it's surprisingly hard to make perfect eggs.
Yes.
It's all about experience and knowing what happens when an egg hits a hot pan. And... yeah, so I think that's really impressive, actually, when you can actually do it in person and show them. And I don't know, I always found that poached eggs were really kind of, there's something about them that people just melt, you know, emotionally or just
Kathy's tips for seduction.
They're all messy, you know. You scrape, you know, mop them all over your plate and bread.
Yes,
you can use your hands.
So how do you guys take your eggs? If you're having them fried eggs, how do you take them?
I don't take them because I make them.
Well, how do you make them? What's your way?
Depends.
Sunny side up, over easy.
I'm in a poached phase right now.
So runny
yolk.
Yeah,
totally.
But you keep.
I go just. I'm scrambled. I'm boring.
You know? No, runny yolk.
Well, it's
that speaks apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know what it. Let's see. Let's make up what it means. Anybody got an idea?
Anal retentive?
Maybe.
I think so. That would be a hard boiled egg person.
I do enjoy hard boiled eggs as well. I enjoy being psychoanalyzed on this radio show.
You know, we didn't actually get into what your ideal dating situation food-wise yeah, like ideal first date, like, you know, what our restaurant meal, or not even restaurant meal,
lots and lots of fat.
Oh yeah.
I want to know that someone is not
afraid,
like someone who just like, oh, I'll have the salad. Nothing's less attractive than a girl who just wants to order the salad.
Do people do that?
Yeah,
girls just order salad.
Or something light, like something very light. And it's like when someone goes for it, when they order the, you know, the fried chicken, that's the way to go.
Cool. But
you know, you found a winner.
All right.
I mean, just because of what we all do for a living and what we care about, the food choices people make are like the most important, like the thing that I judge more than anything, you know. So it's like, I wonder if dating overall is hard for people who care about food so much, because like all dates happen in like this food drink world, which we judge so much more than other people.
That is true.
That's true. But it's fun if someone's open to it, and then you can like lead them places and like show them new things. And I think that's fun. It's just when they refuse to eat things, when it gets kind of annoying.
Yes. Or they're, super picky, or have...
Yeah, picky.
Have allergies. I'm doing scare quotes.
It sounds like allergies. You guys have stories about this. Do you have any horror nightmares stories about somebody who only ate a bit lettuce? And
no, it can be hard to... I've dated vegetarians in the past, and there's nothing wrong with... like, I totally respect being a vegetarian. And are you laughing? I understand it's like, you know, a life choice.
Why is that so funny, Rachel?
I mean, I guess I do respect it. I understand. I mean, because if you read, okay, this is not the right forum for this. Like, because if you really think about it, of course, like, you cannot kill an animal. But I mean, so never mind.
It is. It's
can we
more than a
that
food.
Vegans.
Okay. Yeah, and no, it's a lifestyle thing. It's also a philosophy thing. Like, if somebody's a vegan and they're really hardcore about it, and you're not, and
that's
like a religion
talk.
Difference. Yes.
I think it's fine as long as they can go to like non-restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, non-vegan restaurants or something like that. That's fine.
On the other hand, I do have a friend.
That's true. If you can be as hardcore a vegan mm-hmm. as you possibly want, but if you're willing to roll with me wherever and not be uptight. And I would be vice versa, maybe. Then you're fine.
How about someone who doesn't drink?
On the flip side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's weird.
Inhuman.
That means you're really animal retentive. That I don't know about that. But on the flip side, I do have a friend who I know you guys know too, but she's a hardcore, you know, meat eater, fat eater, all those things, spleen eater, fried chicken eater, and she started dating somebody who was a vegetarian, and I think on the second date when he ordered something, she was just like, you know, I don't think this is gonna work, this whole vegetarian thing.
What did he say?
He was, I think, really hurt or offended, because, you know, he was going along. He doesn't care that she eats bacon and grease, and why should you care if I do?
Like, oh, yeah. I want to go to Porchetta or something, right. And I can't. Because you don't eat meat, it's... But, I mean, then again, if you limit yourself to things like that, you're going to be pretty unhappy. Like, that's pretty... You can work around
it. Do you think that... I mean, yes. So you're saying that when people get all greasy and smeared with fried chicken, that's like a turn-on? Really?
The feeling... I think it is almost. Like, that euphoric feeling after you've just consumed, like, a really, really good fatty meal.
Don't you feel like throwing up, then?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
Well, I definitely, you can go overboard or you cannot go overboard.
Hey,
with something
Kathy.
Like that. Yo.
This is Jack, the producer. You have a caller on the line. He's got a question.
Hi, you're on Cheap Date. What's your name?
Hey, my name is Gift.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good, how is it going? So,
I'm having trouble getting girls to notice me. And I just wanted to know, like, how can I change that?
Okay, so in just, like, everyday scenarios, like walking down the street or, like, you're at a party and you want to...
Well, at a party, at a bar, anything like that.
First mm-hmm. of all, this is Rachel, by the way. Where do you live?
I live in Jersey.
You're in Jersey. Which part of Jersey?
Central Jersey, New Brunswick, Edison area.
So you're listening from Jersey. That's awesome. Thank you.
Represent. I'm from Essex County.
Well, so. You could take Keith's idea and you could smear yourself with. First of all, you could smear yourself with fried chicken grease.
Wow,
they would definitely notice you.
I don't think that's the type of recognition I need. But, yeah.
Well, you know. Okay, so to make small talk and just get like the initial icebreakers and conversation going.
What's a good thing to say when I first meet, or when I first go up to these young ladies?
I think just to be having a good time and like project an aura of fun and just kind of...
That's right. Project an aura of confidence, like you don't really even need to talk to this person.
Although I think that there isn't anyone on the planet who doesn't like to have someone ask them questions about themselves. I mean, someone to show interest in what you do and like what you do for a living, what you like, what you care about. Almost everyone will respond to that.
That is
true. If you do it nicely.
So, what do you do for a living?
Me? You haven't been listening to the whole show.
No.
We're all food writers.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's good to maybe find something, also when you find something you're passionate about and you kind of go after it and you meet some people in like the same field. It's always a good way to meet people.
But how do you know at first, you know, like?
It's hard to find. I mean,
yeah. I guess you're totally on cue, you know, ask them, okay, I think we're out of time, guys. The first episode of Cheap Date is over, but thank you so much, Rachel Wharton and Keith Wagstaff. You guys are awesome, and we're going to have lots of fun and eat lots of pizza now. Yay!
Don't